Welcome to the Crown Council Mentor of the Month program. This is Steve Anderson. For nearly 30 years, Dr. Ray Bertolotti has been known as an innovator in dentistry. In 1984, he introduced Total Etch to North America. He coined the phrase adhesion dentistry to reflect the true nature of what he was using to achieve aesthetic results. He introduced Caries Detector in 1984 in America, Panavia in 1985, tin plating in 1989, self-etching primers in 1992, and Heal Ozone in 2004, as well as a series of other innovations, including the sectional contact matrix system, MicroPrime B, Accolade PV, micro etcher, sandblasting, cantilevered adhesion bridges, and intraoral tin plating. In addition to authoring four dental textbook chapters, Dr. Bertolotti has published extensively in journals such as the International Journal of Prosthodontics, Journal of Dental Research, and Quintessence. He's a fellow of the American Academy of Dental Materials, a fellow of the American College of Dentists, a fellow of the Pierre Fouchard Academy, and an accredited member of the Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. He's well known as an international lecturer in over 30 countries. Dr. Bertolotti received his DDS degree from the University of California, San Francisco, after working as a PhD metallurgical and ceramic engineer at Sandia National Laboratories. He's currently on faculty at Warwick University in the UK and guest lectures at Loma Linda University. He conducts private practice in California, and most of his private practice is involved with ozone conservative aesthetic techniques and his adhesion dentistry. So with that, Dr. Bertolotti, welcome back as our Mentor of the Month.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here. Gosh, you've done so much for me. I owe you big time here, so at least I could do is help you make a recording here for the benefit of all you guys that follow you, you know.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time today. You've been a great part of the Crown Council from day one when we first started, and appreciate your input and your wisdom over the years. We've had some chatter as of late on the Crown Council email network about ozone. You've been using ozone. That's old news for you. You mentioned it to me the first time well over 10 years ago. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your first entree to that now over 10 years ago, and a little bit of the background.
Yeah, sure, Steve. Well, I can't tell you the year the meeting I went to. I think it was 1992, but it was one of the big research meetings, IEDR. And I was listening to the ozone presentation there. I thought, boy, these guys are really onto something. So then what I did, Russ Beggs, one of my practice partners, and I rang up Eddie Lynch in Ireland in Belfast and said, hey, Eddie, we want to learn from you. And we've done our, you know, I used your idea, Steve, where you do your research first and you say, hey, can I come and learn from you? So we did our research. We read up on ozone best we could. And we asked Eddie Lynch if there's any way we might be able to come to the university and talk to him and see this stuff in action. He's a very gracious guy. So, yeah, he said, sure. So that was in early 2004. And so then once I'd been there with Russ, we thought, well, yeah, this is something. So I started teaching it, Steve, probably mid-2004. And I had my first ozone machine right after that meeting, so it would have been early 2004, I suppose. And I've been going strong at it ever since, and so is Russ. He's an ozone dentist, and we're doing some stuff that everybody says can't be done, but we do it on a regular basis. So, same old story.
So when you first encountered it, overseas, how is it being used originally?
Yeah. Well, what happened there is that at Belfast, Eddie Lynch and a couple other partners of his wrote up a schematic of an ozone machine, and the reason they did that, they overheard a conversation at a dinner in a restaurant somewhere where some guys were talking about medical ozone. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe we're really missing out on something. So while they were at dinner, I guess they, on the back of a napkin, they wrote up a schematic for an ozone machine that would be fail-safe and patient-safe and all kind of stuff. And that emerged as the Heal Ozone device in 2004, early in the year. And that's still one of the devices that I recommend. In fact, probably the best one out there when you balance all the properties. So it emerged from that conference.
And they originally used it how?
Oh, yeah. You asked me that. I'm sorry. I got distracted there. Sorry. Thinking back historically here. Well, they were using it for Caries reversal, Steve. And the type of lesion that they were looking at, we would call primary root caries, where you have a caries lesion usually on the root of the tooth right down by the gum line. And their concept was to apply ozone to knock out the bacteria and change the pH inside the lesion so that the bacteria couldn't colonize very well. And about that time, they did a clinical trial with it, and they found that they could get 100% reversal of these lesions as long as they weren't too deep. And it took, as I recall, something like 60% of them reversed with one ozone exposure. And then if they did repeated exposures for up to about a year, they could get, I think it was 18 months actually, that they could get 100% reversal. And so that was the start of everything. And then people started using it for other applications. And as you might expect, dentists will do darn near anything if they have new technology.
So when you say caries reversal, okay, for the uneducated, talk to me like a patient. What do you really mean?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll explain it to you like I'd explain to a patient. Then, you know, we have bacteria active in the tooth here in this cavity, and bacteria are multiplying in there, and they're breaking down the tooth because of the acids they generate. And so what ozone does is it knocks out the bacteria. And by putting ozone on it, it'll stay free of bacteria for more or less 3 months. And so the body naturally wants to heal these lesions, these cavities, by what we call remineralization from saliva and the calcium and the phosphates and everything come back in there. But the bacteria overcome that activity. So we call that demineralization when the bacteria are active, and remineralization when it reverses. So what I'm trying to do is basically reverse it by remineralization so that the tooth will be restored back to where it was before the cavity formed.
Okay, now, let me make sure I just understood you. You're talking about regrowing bone.
Regrowing tooth structure, yeah.
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 So without placing a filling,
correct.
So you place ozone on it, and then it will remineralize tooth structure.
Yeah, that's right. And just to kind of approximate how effective it is, about 60% of the time, you can get remineralization within about 90 days. And about 40% of the time, it doesn't work. Sometimes it works with repeated exposure to ozone. And sometimes the cavity is too deep where it's not effective. But on the superficial ones, right on the surface, we can get those 60% of the time just with a 10-second exposure to ozone.
Wow. So how deep is too deep?
Well, that's a controversial topic, Steve. My opinion is that more than about a millimeter and a half deep, the ozone is not very effective. So I would not usually recommend that to patients if I suspect that the lesion's deep. But, you know, some people say, well, what's the harm in trying? Well, there isn't.
Right.
So, you know, some patients want you to try something that isn't, let's say, have a high probability of success, but they're willing to give it a go. And so that's fine with me because you can't do any harm. But most patients where they get a 60% chance of no filling, they'll say, yeah, why not?
All right, so in addition to caries reversal, let's say it's beyond the, you know, millimeter and a half level, how else are you using it beyond caries reversal?
Yeah, well, if it's more than a millimeter and a half deep, Steve, and if we bring in another technology called glass ionomer, particular glass ionomer, in the USA it's called Fuji Triage, that aids in the remineralization of the tooth. So what I do is I'll clean out the cavity, get all the, you know, caries material out of there so that there's no more than, say, a millimeter and a half to 2 millimeters depth remaining. then I'll expose it to ozone, and then I'll put on the Fuji Triage. Now, we found that the Fuji Triage enhances the mineralization of the tooth, so it extends the limits out to probably 2 millimeters, and maybe even slightly more than that, because I've seen some cases recently look more like 3 millimeter. And we can reverse that, and what's in it for the patient here is no root canals, because we're not drilling down into where we would get in any danger zone causing root canal. And what's in it for me is I make a hell of a lot more money per hour doing this, and patients are very grateful for it. So it's really a win-win, Steve, all around. So caries reversal is number one thing that it was invented for, but now we're doing caries reversal in combination with glass ionomer on deeper ones.
So in addition to that, you're treating essentially, are you using with any restoration that you do to kill the bacteria?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I don't see any reason not to use it, because you knock out bacteria, and, you know, bacteria is not a good thing to leave in a tooth. So, yeah, we use it just about everything, except where we've sand enamel, where we've planed down the enamel or something and taken off some material. Well, there's probably no bacteria to worry about, or insignificant number of bacteria, so we don't do it then. But most of the other things, yes, we do.
All right, so since you're talking about its effect on bacteria, talk to me about periodontal disease.
Well, periodontal disease, no, that's also treated with ozone, but not in the form I'm using it. I'm using ozone gas in a sealed system, and ozone gas just simply doesn't get down below the gum line very effectively. So the people that are treating periodontal disease are using ozone with water. And they make a fresh, a solution. What, you dissolve ozone into water and it saturates. I guess that's a solution. I never really thought about that. But anyway, ozone water. And then we use that to irrigate down below the gum line. And that's very effective in knocking out bacteria. And so what happens is, if you have periodontal disease, you can get that to reverse pretty quickly, surprisingly quickly.
So talk about, I know that there's been a lot of back and forth about, is this legal in the United States? Is it not? Where does that all rest?
Well, first of all, in order to sell a device to deliver ozone for dentistry, you've got to have an FDA approval to sell that device. Now, there's one device out of Canada. It's called a Longevity ozone generator. As I understand it, they have an FDA approval to sell it in the United States as an investigational device. And I don't know all the details on how that investigational license works, but as I understand it, they're supposed to report back to FDA, they're kind of doing research with it, what amounts to, and they've got to report back the results. Now, that's the only one I'm aware of that can legally be sold here as a dental device. The one that I'm using, called Helozone, the FDA has not approved for sale in this country. I don't know why. It's been looked at in a lot of research. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't approve it. But ozone seems to be some kind of a hot button with the FDA. And they ruled it a drug. Well, that's another big problem, because in order to get that thing approved, they got to do what's called a drug trial. Now, a drug trial would cost about $10 million to do. So, that's a financial obstacle to them doing this kind of a study. And that's why I think it's probably not been, not been done, because of financial considerations. I don't know that for sure. I'm not really up on all the details. But from the point of view of using it, I'm not aware of any law that would prevent us from using ozone. It's just that they can't sell the device in the United States. Well, there's Canada, there's Germany, there's Australia. One of mine came from Germany, one came from Canada. I didn't see that as being any obstacle at all. So I just bought them there, and I use them here. And
got it.
And my attorney says,
okay,
I'm perfectly fine.
So the Heal Ozone unit that you refer to is available where?
Everywhere except the United States. You name it, it's available.
I get you. Okay. Available everywhere but in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. Canada has them. Mexico has them. Australia, New Zealand, a lot of them sold there. All the European Union, South Africa, Japan, Hong Kong.
Wow.
Those are places I know they have them for sale.
So we're the only ones that are kind of behind the game
here.
Yeah, we are,
and I really don't quite understand it. But we're behind in a lot of other things in medicine, too, so it's no surprise.
In terms of how much training does it take to really learn and understand how to use this properly?
Well, for simple applications, it takes about 30 seconds training.
Gotcha.
But for, you know, more complicated things like the deep carious lesions that we're reversing with Fuji triage, it doesn't take very long, Steve. You just need to understand it. Certainly less than an hour, I could explain all the uses of it to anyone. Clinically, it'd be no problem at all. And
gotcha.
I didn't mention another thing we're doing with it we should talk about is desensitizing roots, because it's extremely effective for that.
And is that long-term? Long-term desensitization, really?
Yes, it is. It surprised me. More than five years ago, a friend of mine told me, he says, just try it on a root that's sensitive to cold or air or things like that. And I did, and it shut off the sensitivity immediately in 10 seconds. It was just simply no longer sensitive. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing. And I fully expected it to come back. So next time we saw the patient, recall probably 6 months later, I imagine, it was still non-sensitive, and it still is. I just saw the lady a couple months ago, and that's been probably 7-8 years now. Amazing.
Wow.
And we don't know why it works, Steve. We have no idea why it works, but sensitivity on roots is due to little open communications, little tubules that go to the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just reason out how you'd stop sensitivity, you'd have to plug up those tubules somehow so they're not open. And so my personal feeling is we're probably coagulating something in the tubules to keep the tubules closed. But nobody's really researched that, and that's just speculation. But all I can tell you is it works. 100% of the time, Steve, 100%.
So just to recap, you've been using this for how long in your practice? 10 years?
In the clinic, early 2004 with the HeLa Zone unit.
Yeah.
I'm probably talking about it prior to that because I was very aware of the research going on.
Right. So this is not anything new for you.
Oh, no, not at all. Been doing it just routinely for all these years.
And it sounds like you wouldn't practice without it.
Well, that's right. I bought two of these machines. It kind of tells you something, doesn't it? They're not cheap machines.
There you go.
First one was $17,000.
And what do they run today?
Well, what I heard on Europe, they're about $6,000. And that's a different model machine, but supposedly better made and more reliable and four times more concentration of ozone. No, I haven't confirmed that price, but a couple sources told me around $6,000 in England for the newest HeLoZone device.
Got it. All right, Dr. Innovator, tell us what else is on the drawing board. You're always up to something. Ozone's kind of old news. Tell us what's on the front burner for Dr. Bertolotti.
Well, we're looking at adhesion to various surfaces, Steve, how we bond to things and try to keep it really simple so that you don't have to really worry too much, just something, you know, have to have a technical understanding of all the deals. So we founded Danville Materials about, it's going on 15 years now, and we have a very powerful group of chemists there that we acquired from Kerr. When Danaher bought Kerr, the chemists took a hike. And so we have a couple of the best chemists in the world right now. And we just introduced a sandblast technology called Siljet. And what this does is it allows adhesion to any kind of ceramic, any kind of metal, without even worrying about what kind of metal it is or what kind of ceramic it is. So that's pretty exciting stuff, and then we introduced it into Europe, I think it was last year, and it's selling reasonably well, and we expect to, you know, try to market it more in the United States this year, probably, at the ADA and the CDA meeting, get people looking at it. So anyway, that's exciting. It's called Siljet, and what it is, it's just basically an active sand. And you put it in a micro etcher, which we make, or one of our competitors' machines, and you just blast it at the tooth. And the particles are aluminum oxide coated with silicon dioxide, which is a glass. So the particles impinge on a tooth and roughen it, and the silicon, the outside of the aluminum oxide, sticks to the because there's a lot of heat associated with that, the impingement of the particle on the surface. Silica beds into the surface, and then silica is very familiar to dentists. You just put silane on it, and then you put your composite, and the bond strengths are really good. But what's neat about it is you don't have to worry about all the different substrates and how you treat them. You just do everything about the same. So that's a big one for us.
Got it.
And the other thing,
very good.
Well, you know, we're rethinking crown. We think crowns are wrong. Generally, the only crown I would place, with possible exception now and then, would be replacing an existing crown, because once the destruction's done, you really can't do much about it and put another crown on. But I really think that crowns are overutilized worldwide, particularly in America, on teeth that don't need a crown, typically a cracked tooth or a chipped tooth. What we do is what we call an adhesion onlay, where we're basically protecting the tooth as a crown would, but not going down to the gum line. And by keeping the margins up high and dry, we can detect any kind of problems easily and repair them before they get out of hand. If you have a cracked tooth, what we're doing, if there's a crack, that's not a chip, it's just a crack that causes the tooth to be sensitive, what we do is we onlay the tooth to prevent crack movement, and then we get all the benefits of a crown without all the destruction. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
And is that mostly, you're able to do that because of the bond strength of the materials you're using?
Yeah, precisely, Steve. Yeah, we can bond a... if we use enamel bonding as a reference, you know, enamel bonding everybody understands pretty well. All our bonds are enamel bond equivalent or better. Some of the metal bonds are three and a half to four times more strong than stronger than enamel bonds, Steve. Three and a half to four times. Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, it is.
And the ceramic, we're one and a half to two times more. So we don't regard the bonding to the restoration as a limiting factor. The limiting factor is the enamel bond. Oh man, this is a whole new era in dentistry.
So you're able to bond directly to the enamel, and get a strength that is strong enough to keep the tooth together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've never seen a failure in one of these things. We call them adhesion onlays. They're about 2 millimeters thick, and they're on the chewing surface occlusal of the tooth. And if there's some kind of a problem that goes down interproximal, we don't chase it down there. We just go in and put a filling in first, properly done. Now, this is proper. Is a little tough. Most composites placed in America are not properly placed.
Because why? What's the error?
Oh, the dentists don't have a good handle on it. They most of them never been trained in dental school on how to do a composite properly. You know, what are the limiting factors? So they don't have, there's a lack of training, and a certain fraction of the dentists will go to courses that focus on proper bonding, like Pascal Manier at USC is teaching it. I'm teaching it. Dave Allman in Utah is teaching it. So... anyway, what we do, rather than take an onlay down in between teeth, we chase the problem down there as conservatively as possible, and then we do a properly bonded filling in there that suffices what we call a buildup, or I like to call it a margin elevation, so we get the margin away from the gums, and then we go ahead and onlay it. And it's my belief that the quality of the restoration that you can place there under ideal conditions, that little buildup, is much better than what we call a mystery margin on an onlay where you can't see it when you cement it. I think it's night and day difference, Steve. So we're doing a lot of that. I'm teaching it. And it's been a tough one because, total etch dentin was a tough one to teach. Nobody believed me in the early days. And this is not quite as tough to teach as that, but getting people to change their ways, it's been a tough one.
It's not the skill that it takes to do it as much as the mindset that you have to have to go down that road.
Exactly, yeah. Just recognize the advantages of doing it this way. And actually, when you get down and look at it after you understand it all, it's actually easier to do than crowns are, because crowns are down by the gum line and you got all kinds of problems with retraction there and saliva and blood and all this stuff. Our margins are up high and dry, and really easy to bond, and we can detect problems really early. We avoid root canal treatments. A lot of, I don't know if you realize, Steve, that something like 10 to 15% of teeth that get a crown in America get a root canal within 5 years after.
Wow.
That's awful.
Yeah, it is.
We get zero pulpal problems because
we're
staying away from the pulp. No, terrible. If the public knew what was wrong with crowns, they wouldn't have any crowns done. They really wouldn't. They just don't know, though. The public doesn't know about that, and a lot of dentists don't either. I'm doing my best to correct that one, Steve.
Yes, you are.
I don't want to influence the public, you know. Well,
right.
Not, that's really true. I would if I had a chance, but I don't really know how to do that. But I know how to influence dentists a little bit, so.
Give us an update on your courses. Everybody's familiar with your courses are very popular at our house, as you know. Most everybody knows the story that we got a set of twins from one of your courses.
Yeah. Hawaiian
about 14
twins,
years ago in Hawaii.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a while, Steve.
It has. So give us a little update on the courses and what you cover and where they are.
Yeah, Steve. Well, last year I did a series of classes myself, 2-day, to try to bring people up to date. But this year we're focusing on mostly on guest lecturers, people that I have a lot of respect for. So we're doing a Lake Tahoe course. This is coming up in June 22, and I'm bringing in a periodontist guy that has revolutionized bone augmentation. He's a pretty interesting guy, Greg Steiner. And he's going to do roughly about half the program, and then I'm going to do the other half, and my topic will be basically the non-crown, the adhesion non-lay, and what materials we have and how to properly place them and get the best clinical result. And then in Yosemite, that's this year in November. The only reason it's November, it's the only time we can get the room there at the Park Service. Doesn't
I get
you know, their hotel to be used like this very much. But we've been such a good customer for 30 years that they say, okay, you can have this week or weekend or whatever. So I'm bringing in a guest lecturer from Germany, Matthias Kern, who's probably regarded number one in the world when it comes to adhesion to zirconia. Zirconia is a ceramic now that's becoming popular. So
sure.
We want to bring in a real authority and understand it completely. And then I'll do a small part of the program. And, should mention, we have Ron Jackson. He's one of the top guys in America with direct composite, and he's doing another section of that. So we've got Matthias Kern, Ron Jackson, and then me at Yosemite.
Excellent. And all of that information is on adhesion.com, is that right?
Right, yeah, you go to adhesion.com, and it's all listed there under seminar details. You just look at seminars and you click on what's called details, and then all the program details are there.
Very good. Good website name, by the way, Ray.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got that one a long time ago. We've been offered some pretty good money for that.
I bet you have.
We haven't reached my choking point yet, Steve.
That's good. Well, listen, I appreciate you sharing your experience and your wisdom today, as always, as you've so generously done over the last 20 years with us, and your enthusiasm to keep innovating and find new ways to do things that are more effective. So.
Oh, we certainly welcome you. I just thought of something. People might want to know where they can get ozone training.
Okay.
So I have it written down here, a couple of sources if they want to know more about clinical ozone. Yeah, one would be, of course, Eddie Lynch, anytime he lectures anywhere. I don't know his lecture schedule, but he's on programs at USA now and then. So Eddie Lynch is probably number one. He's the guy that invented the Heal Ozone. And then there's two other groups that are teaching clinically and doing a nice job. One is Phil Molika and Bob Harris. Now, I have the phone number here. at least last time I called Harris, this is the number I used, and
okay.
the answer was something like clinical training or something sounded like that. It's 201-587-0222. And they do courses in office, various places around the country, small groups, I think 8 or 10 people. And it goes 2 days. It's just a wonderful course. I've taken it myself. And in fact, I'm a slow learner. I took it twice.
And then, gotcha.
Bill Dome, a guy down in Southern California, is also teaching it. Now, I have not attended his course, but I talked to him a lot, and he's a sharp guy. So there's another possibility. And here's his phone number, as I understand it, for the courses. 951-809-3099, Bill Dome. And they can search this on the Internet if anybody wants to see what these guys have done. Dome is pronounced, spelled D-O-M-B, Bill. He's all over the Internet, so people can see what he's doing.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks for the additional info, and thanks for your time today. And always being willing to share.
Well, thanks. Anytime, I can help out. I'm happy to do that. That's what I'm doing these days, is trying to get everybody on track here that wants to make some changes and, you know, get them onto better dentistry.
You got it. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate
You're
it
welcome,
as
Steve.
Always.
All the best.
Same to you. Thanks for sharing with us today.
You're welcome. Yeah, bye. Bye, Steve.